We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by Chris Owen to discuss Game Week 28 in the Premier League. Unfortunately, we only have 7 matches to talk about. Fortunately, I'm coming off. I've hit 7 straight bets. Chris is, I think you're 9-3 in your last 12, or you're around there, something like that. But I think you were 1-2. You were 1-2 last week. But are you ready to get back in the positive?
Yeah, we're back to it this week. For me specifically, not the best week last week. I think I went 1-2 and then our parlay missed on my bet too. So we're just going to get right back to it, but that's the name of the game here. We're just giving out bets and hopefully they hit. And most of all, yeah, it's big weekend, a big week overall. We've had some Champions League matches. We have some FA Cup matches. We've got 7 Premier League matches this weekend. Of course, there's a lot of other leagues going on, but what we do here is the Premier League. So down to discuss a little bit of that and some there's 1 or 2 matchups that are truly disgusting to me, but we're going to get into them and excited to discuss once more here on this beautiful Thursday morning.
Yeah, I was looking at our records page here if you want to check that out. It's on RotoWire. But the interesting thing for this week, we're talking Arsenal Crystal Palace. One of your best records is Arsenal at 7-3 and Crystal Palace here at 1-3. So we got some opposites attracting here. So hopefully you will get that Crystal Palace record up.
I will say I was 0-3 on Crystal Palace before. Now I think I'm 1-3. So my most recent bet hit. So you're I think that was a Crystal Palace double chance against Liverpool at home that hit when we last discussed that. But yeah, well, let's get to it.
Let's get into it. We got Wolves against Leeds, and one of the things. So I've been pretty much full corner bets, and this week it seemed like a lot of the odds were, at least at DraftKings, all the value is kind of gone from a lot of these corner bets. I'm seeing like minus 120 for over 4.5 and minus 120 for under 4.5, which is, it should be minus 110 on both, but sports books are just kind of stealing money. Apparently they're probably losing money because I'm giving out all these winning bets. So maybe that's it. Maybe they realize they should change the odds a little bit. But that's where we're at. I still found some corner bets, but I kind of had to mix it up a little bit. But we got Wolverhampton at home, plus 130 to win against Leeds, who are plus 235. You got the draw at plus 225. Over 2.5 goals is plus 130. Under 2.5 goals, minus 160. So goals are not expected. The big news here is Tyler Adams is out with a hamstring injury. And if we look at his game log, how many games has Tyler Adams missed? Not very many. Two matches he missed. It was home against Fulham. They lost 3-2. Home against Manchester City. They lost 3-1. Now they have Weston McKennie in the squad. So he's going to come in and be next to Mark Rocha. But what kind of factor do you think that Tyler Adams being out will have on this match?
Yeah, I mean, he's only been there a short amount of time, but he's had a pretty big influence on their team. definitely a big miss for them. I mean, Mark Rocha has been solid to do when he's coming in, when he's come into the lineup. But yeah, I'm a bit weary of this. But most of all, I think what we got to look at here is Leeds is, if not the worst, towards the bottom in terms of, yeah, they're tied for the least amount of points with Nottingham Forest, West Ham United, playing away from home. They've won just one match away from Elland Road all season. They've got three draws, and then, you know, the rest are losses. So they're not very good away from home. They're heading to Wolves, which, you know, Wolves maybe I looked and they're like bottom third in terms of points gained at home, but they're. It's you look at both of those and you think that maybe, you know, Leeds missing a Tyler Adams in the middle of the field and just their overall form away from home. It kind of lends to the, all right, let's look at Wolverhampton plus 130 here as an interesting bet. But Wolves been a little bit better recently, but still nothing crazy. I think they've dropped three of their last five games. They tied Fulham and they beat Tottenham. That was not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So kind of a mixed bag. And generally, just they've been like slightly better, but not too much better. Just enough to give you like, okay, maybe I'll take the money line at home. But yeah, that's overall thoughts there. I think this is a low scoring affair too. But I mean, are you worried without Tyler Adams in the lineup, or you think, you know, Leeds can pull points?
I think if I wasn't glued to a corner bet because I have to continue corner bets, I would be on Wolves at plus 130 to win.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the most recent results for Leeds and both Wolverhampton. Looking at their past five matches, it's been 1-0, 1-1, 2-0, 1-0. And then last weekend, Wolves lost. First time in a bit there that they went over 2.5 goals. They lost 2-1 to Newcastle. And then looking at Leeds United, lost to Everton 1-0, beat Southampton 1-0, lost to Fulham 2-0, Chelsea 1-0, and then This one was particularly infuriating last weekend because I had bet on this for the parlay, I think, but they lost to Brighton, or they tied Brighton 2-2 in what, you know, initially I was like, oh, this seems like a good bet, I think. Yeah, so not a ton of goals. And for that reason, I'm actually going to go no on both teams to score at minus 120. Another factor in this, I mentioned that Leeds are really poor away from home. But that also, on the other flip side of that, Wolves have the least amount of goals in the league at home. They've only scored 10 goals. I believe it's in 17 matches. So not finding the back of the net. I think, you know, this could, we'll see, but it could be just a 0-0 draw. It could be a 1-0, 2-0, and that would certainly hit what we're looking for here. But yeah, no, both teams score minus 120. I did, you know, the first, as I mentioned at the beginning, top of the show, is I did kind of like Wolverhampton to money line plus 130, but I don't have the gumption or the gall to take it here. So,
all right, before we get going, I guess I should mention, in case you're only listening to podcasts, Chris is 38-30-1 for the season, up $923. These are all on $100 bets. I am 49-23, up $2,878. Pretty incredible there. In terms of Wolverhampton, yeah.
Just quickly, just a disgusting amount of success for you. And, you know, if you want to check the stats, go back on the shows, check. We do have the article that has our updated betting records on the website too. But, yeah, Adam's just, I mean, corners and wagers here. It's no longer kits and wagers, but let's, I mean, keep it going here this week.
Yeah, so in terms of Wolverhampton at home, looking at the recent results, they had the 1-0 win against Tottenham, in which Tottenham controlled it. They lost 1-0 against Bournemouth, in which Wolverhampton controlled it. And then they beat Liverpool 3-0, and then before that it was West Ham 1-0. So it's like these weird matches where against Bournemouth, they struggled to score, and then it was the opposite against Tottenham kind of a thing. And now I think Tyler Adams not being in the lineup actually kind of helps my bet, which is over 4.5 corners in the first half. Again, this is minus 125. Not my favorite here. The under 4.5 is minus 110. So DraftKings is just stealing money right off the top. I wonder if I'm just going to start looking at other places instead of DraftKings going forward. I know it's best to shop, but it's just really easy just to use the sports book we've been using all season for these odds. So I just think without, you know, throwing Tyler Adams not being in the middle of the field to sniff out things, to snuff out things, however you want to say what he does in
sniffing
there.
Sniffing snuff for sure. He's sniffing any snuffing in there.
I also think Wolverhampton at home is they're pretty good in terms of getting corners and going up early kind of a thing. And I think I'd be interested to see if this is going to be a little bit of up and down pretty early. It just feels like take out Adams from Leeds, and they're already a team that kind of like to possess the ball and kind of like to create opportunities and get shots off, and then they're away from home. So I wonder what the approach for Wolverhampton will be with maybe the healthiest they've been all season. Pedro Neto has been back. Raul Jimenez is finally getting some starts. So I think this is a relegation battle. So this is almost – you could say this is like a must-win spot kind of thing for Wolverhampton. It's at least must not drop 3 points for Wolverhampton playing at home here. So I think they're going to come out under Lopetegui and try and get this. So over 4.5 corners in the first half is -125. Chris's is no on both teams to score. That one is -120.
You mentioned we're going
1-0, 2-0 Wolves here for both our bets to hit.
Yeah, I did look at the total goal bands too, and I think the 1-2 goals was pretty reasonable if you wanted to bet that. Right around like +100. But yeah, interesting that we have, I mean, we got a great title fight going on between City and Arsenal right now. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the top four, some of the European places, but the relegation battle is kind of nutty right now. We have, I mean, this is game week 28, but we do have, what is it, 8 teams that are all within 5 points in the table. Crystal Palace, Wolverhampton, sitting at 27, and then we have Southampton all the way at the bottom with 22. So you know, 2 results either way for any team. You know, can bring them out and put them like, you know, closer to, you know, a 12th place, 13th place on the table, which is kind of wild.
Yeah. Next game we're talking about, Chelsea are at home against Everton. Chelsea are -215 to win. Everton are +650. And noticing the line movement here, Chelsea were -245 about 10 days ago. Now they're -215. So it seems like people are not betting on Chelsea as much as they were 10 days ago. I'm not sure exactly
why. Which is weird.
Yeah, because they've actually been winning. So that is.
Yeah, they won 3 straight in the last 10 days.
So. That is weird. Then you got the draw +330, over 2.5 goals +105, under 2.5 goals -130. So the thing with Chelsea, I think, is that so they're actually scoring goals now. Previously, it was, you know, the home loss against Southampton, which they kind of dominated, unlucky to lose. A bunch of matches where they're struggling to score. It's a little bit of positive regression is what the people say. They had all these high XG numbers. They just couldn't score. Joao Felix hit the post 20 times without scoring, something like that. Now they won 3 straight. Now they're at home against Everton, who have been better under Dyche, but away from home, this is still a pretty tough spot. So what do you think's going on in this one?
Yeah, I mean, DraftKings really the odds for my first impression was like, all right, let's look at the over-unders. And you're getting absolutely no favors on them. You know, you can look at – so a couple interesting things here is that Chelsea have at home, they've allowed the least – they're tied with Liverpool and Manchester – or I'm sorry, tied with Manchester United at 8 goals conceded at home, which is joint first – in the league. And then looking over at Everton's away form and how poor they've been in scoring goals. They've only scored 8 goals in 16 matches or excuse me, in 13 matches away from home. So between Chelsea being a great defensive side at home and Everton's inability to find the back of the net, I feel like, you know, initially I was like, let's go under. And then I was like, well, we're not getting too many favors there. We're getting the unders -135. But then you look at Chelsea's most recent form. They have been good. I mean, they scored 2 against Dortmund, who've been a really excellent team so far, both in the Champions League and the Bundesliga. And then they did the game last week against Leicester City, who, let's be frank, is a pretty crappy defensive team. That was 3-1. So it's like you can go over – you can go head over to the over – 2.5, but +105. But it's like either way, it's a tough decision. But for me, I feel like this has got 2-0 written all over it. Everton, you know, we were It looks like they might be without Dominic Calvert-Lewin again. He's kind of a game time decision. So I'm going 1-2 goals, the goal bands, which have been kind of fun bets. And I've had a decent bit of success with them, but I'm going that. And what are the odds here on this one, Adam?
What are we looking at here?
The Chelsea Everton. Let's see, game prop. Sorry, I didn't put this one in my notes.
It's +105.
Yeah, +105. So you're getting about even odds. The 2-3 goals is intriguing as well, if you want to go that route. And that was +100. So you're sitting about even. If you think this is a 2-goal game, then you can go the 1-2 with +105 or the 2-3 goals. But I really think that Everton are going to probably fail to score here. And I don't think the no on both teams to score wasn't a reasonable amount for in terms of odds. So I avoided that one, but, that's where I'm at. 1-2 goals scored +105. I think Chelsea are able to get all 3 points here.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying to look at some different odds. I pulled up FanDuel. So the over, it's pretty much the same. It's just like these odds are kind of tough. You got over 2.5 goals is +108, and then the under 2.5 is still -130. So it's still, they're still like skimming a lot of money there off the top. And as you can see on the graphic, I agree with Chris's thoughts here. Chelsea money line, kind of low scoring, but I'm actually going over total corners here.
Wow.
And I had to mix it up a little bit. As you see, yeah, SGP, single game parlay. Because if you look at the corner numbers on both sides, it's just I didn't want to take all three bets like in the -120, -120, -125 range. What you have Chelsea -1.25 is -130. I wasn't going to take that. Probably wasn't going to take the Everton side either. And then same thing with the first half corner bet. So I put two things together to get plus odds. So that's my thought process. Chelsea money line over 8.5 corners total at +105. And Everton get a fair amount of corners under Sean Dyche. That's just what happens when they cross the ball a ton, send balls in, and then, they go out for corners kind of a thing. Chelsea should still get plenty of corners as well. They'll be, 60% possession maybe. They should control this match a little bit with what Chris was talking about. But I guess the one way that this bet loses is if Everton just are scoring. Can it either play for a scoreless draw, I guess, and Chelsea, go back to their struggles of failing to score, and it's a scoreless draw, I guess, or it's another 2-2 result kind of thing that Everton recently had against Nottingham Forest. So do you think it's more likely that it'll be 2-2 or kind of like a scoreless draw? What do you think is more likely of those two results?
A scoreless draw, definitely. I mean, there's a big difference in quality between Chelsea and Nottingham Forest. Let's be real.
Just a little bit.
I and Everton have been pretty poor away from home. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough when your bet as a parlay, but
Right.
I like the fact that you got a little creative here, but yeah, the over 8.5 corners, that does, I mean, it seems pretty reasonable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Chelsea money line at home, 1-3 straight. It looks like we're starting to see them kind of rev the engine a little bit, but yeah, I'm a little weary on this one. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. I think the one thing that popped into my mind, just speaking of the scoreless draw, was that Everton recently played at Arsenal when it looked like, I think it would, Everton were kind of going for the scoreless draw there. And then right at the end of the first half, Arsenal got a goal. And then they kind of put it on in the second half a little bit. I think that finished 4-0, I want to say.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're going to try and do the same thing here. It just depends on if Chelsea are going to get that goal at some point in the first 60 minutes, or they're going to have a lot of pressure when it's 0-0. 70th minute and all the nerves are starting to come in. So that's the main worry for taking Chelsea money line.
Yeah, interesting. And a little bit of historical context here is that they've kind of traded in terms of, they played earlier in August, that was 1-0. Last year, Everton won in May, that was 1-0. They drew in December 1-1. Chelsea won 2-0 the year before, and then 1-0 to Everton. So it's been kind of like reciprocating of each team kind of getting results here. The away team, only one time has the away team won. That was Chelsea earlier in the year.
Yeah, those are all the big Thomas Tuchel against Frank Lampard against his old club. All those big matchups.
Yeah, so I will say the away teams won twice in 14 matches, and that was Chelsea both times. So otherwise, it's pretty much been the home team winning here in this matchup.
Makes sense. For Arsenal Crystal Palace, this is the only match on Sunday. I should say that there is a Friday match, then there are five Saturday matches, and then this is the only one on Sunday. In the Premier League, there are FA Cup matches. So I believe they're in the quarters, so there's four FA Cup matches over the weekend. But we got Arsenal home against Crystal Palace. Arsenal are -380 to win. Crystal Palace +950. Draw is +500. Over 2.5 goals, -135. Under 2.5 goals, +110. The big thing that just kind of happened yesterday on Wednesday is that Guaita, Crystal Palace's goalkeeper, we'll see if he's going to be ready for this match, but about 2 hours before their game on Wednesday, it came out that he had a hamstring injury, that he was out, and they ended up starting this 19-year-old academy goalkeeper at Brighton. They put up a fight, but I think his name is Whitworth. They lost 1-0, but they actually probably looked like the better team the first 20 minutes. Then Brighton scored, and then it was kind of not too much happened the rest of the way. So now you got this Crystal Palace team that has been playing for scoreless draws for the past 2 months. Now they may start the 19-year-old goalkeeper again, and now they're at Arsenal, the number one team in the league. So do you think it's another aim for a scoreless draw for Crystal Palace, or do you think they kind of go for it a little bit, if that's even possible?
Crystal Palace going for it doesn't feel like a thing that's possible in this season or this, you know.
This matchup, for sure.
Yeah, this matchup, I mean, I feel like they're going to bunker in Arsenal. Like, I'm just going to get out in front of this one and just say that I'm taking the under 2.5 goals at +105. Crystal Palace's last 10 games, 9 of them have been under 2.5. Even like looking back at the most recent results, it's been 1-1 against Brentford, 0-0 they held Liverpool, 1-0 against Aston Villa that they lost, 1-0 against Manchester City that they lost, 1-0 against Brighton that they lost. So it doesn't feel like they have the ability to score more than 2 goals in their team. It also feels like, you know, against Arsenal, the one weird worry I have here is that Arsenal are like, all right, we're just going to just be relentless and score a few goals here. But I like the under 2.5, just how this is how Crystal Palace plays teams. So they don't give them much space. They really bunker in, especially in the final third. So I feel like Arsenal are going to enjoy like 65% possession, maybe 70% possession. But ultimately, yeah, Crystal Palace will hold them out in the final third. I do think Arsenal comes away with a result here, but this game should be pretty low scoring. If you're thinking that maybe, you know, I like Arsenal to win this one 2-0, you can get them -1.5 at -130. That was another one I looked at too. So I think, you know, shouldn't be a problem for them to get points. It might be a little gritty. It might be a little bit tough to break down that final third for them. But, you know, if Crystal Palace is even missing their goalkeeper, that definitely gives them another opportunity and makes me a little more weary of the under 2.5. But that's where I'm at for this one, and I we'll see.
Right. It was a week ago where Crystal Palace played. They were at home against Manchester City. They were minutes away from a scoreless draw, which is basically what they're kind of playing for. They did the same thing at home against Liverpool a couple weeks ago as well. How much of a factor here is that those two matches were at home? This one is at Arsenal. How much of a factor do you think that is in terms of Arsenal being able to get that first goal to open things up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. Both, yeah, they were at home in both those games. But you even look back, again, they played Manchester United in the beginning of February. That they held them to 2 goals. That was a 2-1 game, but then even that, like Chelsea, they held Chelsea. They were away for that. That was 1-0. That was also when Chelsea was, you know, struggling to score goals. But they've done pretty well to hold some of the top teams in the league to like to under, you know, to a goal or two goals. So I think, you know, Arsenal will have a foothold in the match right away. You know, that's going to happen. But I don't think that, just given Palace's ability to defend, I don't think that this one's going to get away from them. And we've seen that against, they've played, you know, Chelsea, United twice, they played Brighton, they played City, they played Liverpool, and they held all of those teams, you know, to one or two goals max.
Right. It's been, if you look at all those matches, it's like, well, all those are pretty difficult matches and they weren't like completely dominated. I mean, depends how you want to look at it, I guess. They didn't allow a ton of goals because they were dominated by possession and they had limited opportunities in a lot of those games. But we'll see how many times we talk about Crystal Palace in the next month or so. But they have Leicester City, Leeds, Southampton, Everton, Wolves, West Ham. Those are like their next five or six matches. And then to close the season, Bournemouth and Fulham. So we just got all these difficult matches. I'm probably going to be looking at Crystal Palace coming out of the international break. I assume they're going to take a little bit of a different strategy than the sit back approach because of the difficult schedule. So that's something I'll be looking at. Usually in cases like that, the odds just don't really kind of look at that thing. So we'll see what we can get for Crystal Palace money lines or maybe some Crystal Palace corner bets as well. So Chris has under 2.5 goals at +105. I'm taking another single game parlay because the odds are, you know, not what I want again. So you got, I mean, I guess I could have just done under 4.5 corners in the first half. That's -110. So I guess I could have done that, but we'll just risk it with Arsenal money line to get a little more money. So an Arsenal money line plus under 4.5 corners in the first half, that's +120. And if you don't trust the Arsenal money line, kind of similar, if you don't trust the Chelsea money line, just take the corner bet by itself. Obviously less money when you're doing that. But in terms of the corner bet, kind of what we were saying, Crystal Palace are just kind of bunkered down a little bit, and the hope is that it's just not Arsenal getting 8 corners in the first half, hoping that they aren't Crystal Palace aren't completely like sitting on their back foot. Hopefully their midfield, they've been going with like a 4-3-3, which has kind of helped to some extent. Schlupp, Decore, Lekanga in there. I think it was yesterday against Brighton. They didn't allow a corner to Brighton in the first half. They only allowed one corner to Brighton, and Brighton are one of the top teams at getting corners. So just another kind of spot where hopefully they limit what Arsenal can do early on. And then if it's scoreless at the half, then in the second half is maybe when Arsenal kind of ramp up the pressure, kind of a thing. So Arsenal money line under 4.5 corners in the first half, +120. And then Chris has under 2.5 goals, +105. So we got these two single game parlays. I maybe only done one once before this season. Which one of these Chelsea Arsenal money lines is going to lose here?
Chelsea. I think you're good on the Arsenal money line. I mean, like both teams are at home, so that helps a lot. But at least you're not taking like an away team in a money line bet, which I feel like is sometimes even more dangerous. But yeah, I think Chelsea would be my bet. But I think you're safe with both. Arsenal feels like a pretty good bet money line. You're the corners whisperer, so I'll leave the corners chatter up to you. But from a purely money lines perspective, I think Arsenal's a bit safer bet.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You have a secret corners bet as well as we get into this.
we're about to hit our parlay, and I was kind of searching around, and I was like, maybe I'll toss a bonus bet in. And I'm not the corners whisperer, so this is maybe my first attempt, or this might actually be my second attempt because I think I made one earlier this year and failed at it, and I just immediately moved off of it. So not an official bet, but a bonus bet.
So the team parlay is 8-16. We're still up $465 because it is a parlay, and we always do more than plus 200 odds. We almost cut this after the World Cup break, but we hit the final one before the World Cup break, and now we're 8-16. But we're still up money, so we're also still – both of us are still positive. I'm 12-11-1. Chris is 13-10 on these. And you're looking at this Friday match. So hopefully you're listening to the show before this Nottingham Forest are home against Newcastle. I'm also going to have a bet on this one in my article, so make sure you check out the article. But Chris, first leg of the parlay, what do you want to do in this spot?
Yeah, a Friday bet here. So, you know, get that Friday feeling as you head into the weekend with a nice part of the first part of the parlay. But I was looking at this game is at Nottingham Forest, right? So
yes,
City Ground. Newcastle's been one of the better teams defensively all season. Nottingham's been pretty okay at home in terms of goal score. They scored 17 goals in 13 matches, so been able to find the back of the net. Newcastle, on the other hand, away from home, they've been one of the best. They have been the best defensive team away from home. They've only conceded 9 goals in 12 matches. So someone's got to give here. I think just the way that Newcastle have played, each game is like a 2-0, 1-1, 1-0 type of match. I mean, aside from the 2-1, I think I missed on this Newcastle bet last weekend, but I'm actually going to go under two or no on both teams to score at -120. I think Newcastle are probably able to take this one 1-0 or 2-0, or, you know, maybe it's a 0-0 draw, but I don't see a place here where Nottingham's able to break down the Newcastle back line. I think I did look at the under two, and the under didn't offer enough from a odds perspective for me to be like, all right, this is part of my parlay.
In fact, -135.
-135. So yeah, our cusp is about -125, -130. So I wanted this, but it wasn't available. So I went no on both teams to score. So I've got two no on both teams to score bets this weekend, which is, does that give you concern at all?
You're the BTTS guy, the whisperer, BTTS whisperers. Is that what you're calling it here?
Yeah. Whisper, you know, like, some people are dog whisperers, some people are corners whisperers. I guess I'm the BTTS whisperer.
Both teams are score whisperer.
Yeah, so like I said, Newcastle's only given up 9 goals away from home. 4 of those, you know, looking back, have come 2 against Liverpool, 2 against City. Nottingham Forest, as I said earlier when we discussed Chelsea, are not Manchester City, and they're not Liverpool. So I think Newcastle's able to keep them out of the back of the net, and maybe, you know, they score a goal or two. But I do want to give a special shout out to Newcastle here on a corners bet. I think the over to 5.5 corners is -130. So that's my only shout out that I'm gonna give here.
Over 5.5. Yep, -130. Okay.
Yep. So I think Newcastle second in the league in corners taken. They're probably going to take it to Nottingham Forest this weekend. And I think, you know, they can get 6 quarters in a game.
Yeah, I have a different corners bet in my article. But I'd look at race to 7 corners for Newcastle, just in a situation where it is scoreless entering the 60th or so minute. You got to think Newcastle will probably start start pushing a little more, and Forest would kind of start sitting back and hoping for the scoreless draw. And that's when Newcastle get 10 corners kind of a thing. So you can get some pretty good odds on something like that. If you want to do like a race to 7, race to 9, park single game parlay that with the under kind of a thing with that mindset. So something I kind of like to do when you're kind of game scripting things out. But another thing in your favor here, as we can see in this line movement, Nottingham Forest were plus 360 like a week ago. Let me double check, March 7th. So yeah, about 10 days ago. Now they're plus 450 to win. And as we can see, so Brendan Johnson, probably not going to start, probably not going to play, picked up an injury last weekend. Chris Wood also, he's out with a hamstring injury. Iwani is still out. They still got a bunch of guys out. And we could see like Scarpa, their new signing from Brazil, back in the starting 11. Emmanuel Dennis has kind of been relegated to a bench role. He could be starting again. Jesse Lingard also started last weekend. So there are some doubts involving Forest attack, because Brandon Johnson has arguably been their best striker this season alongside Morgan Gibbs-White. So I like that side of the bet there. In terms of my bet, man, it was a tough week. So we marked down the three matches we want to talk about. So I mark those teams off in terms of my article. So I have four games to look at for my article. I wrote some bets down for that article. And then after that, I have to get to this team parlay. So this is far down the list. We only have seven games to go with. But I got Bournemouth plus one corner. Yes, I'm betting on Bournemouth corners, which might be one of the dumbest things I've ever done. They're probably last in the league in terms of corners. But Bournemouth plus one corner in the first half against Aston Villa is minus 125. Chris's Nottingham Forest, Newcastle, no on both teams. The score bet is minus 120. That is plus 230 odds. So just in terms of this bet is, I guess I hope that Hamed Traore returned to training today, I believe. The hope is that he's starting again, because he's been pretty good when playing. I believe Tavernier is still out, so that's not great. But Aston Villa has been under Emery. They play different home than they do away. From the surface, this just seems like a match where Villa probably dominate possession and have more corners. But Villa don't get a lot of corners. And I'm just hoping that it could be like a 1-1 corner kind of thing, 2-2 corner kind of thing, to where Bournemouth get a couple counters. And it's not like Villa are a team that love to possess the ball a ton. So if like Traore's in there, you got Utara, you got Anthony, you got these wingers, and Lerma and Billing, those guys are healthy. Lerma's healthy again. You throw all that together, and this is just kind of like a prayer of a bet to bet on Bournemouth corners. But plus one, it's just because Villa play differently at home and they don't get a ton of corners. So let's ride with it. I don't like it that much, but I like it enough to give it out to the people. So let's win this one. Plus 230 odds on the parlay.
Yeah, interesting. Aston Villa and Bournemouth rank second to last and fourth to last in terms of corners all season long. Villa has a 100 corners, I believe, on the season, and Bournemouth has 93. So we're not going to see a lot of corners. So I'm glad you didn't hit like a total corners bet here. But yeah, it feels like a roll of the dice, and you know, this is a betting show after all. So I guess we have to do this. But yeah, maybe. You know, I feel like it's often opposites where you feel confident in a bet and you're like, and then it just crashes. Whereas, you know, maybe we're a little weary of these bets here, you know, smaller size of games to pick from, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully some success.
If you don't like this, you could go under 4.5 in the first half. That one is fine, but we'll see. I just don't like betting Aston Villa corner bets in general. So we'll see what happens. But that's all we got for game week 28. Kind of ends on a sour note, as I'm not too positive in that bet. But, you know, I've hit 7 straight overall, and 49-23 for the season. So what can go wrong, right?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing can go wrong.
Nothing. I'll just go 0-4 and still be up a lot of money. But
yes,
Chris, special you got anything Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, special shout out. We're kicking off March Madness this morning. I know Adam is an absolute beast when it comes to college basketball. So, you got any content out there? Are you giving any best bets for the college basketball?
You know, I've been really contemplating it. We got 2 hours before the start of it. We did a DFS show yesterday, and it's actually in the soccer feed. Long story, but I might come back with March Madness money just to give some bets out for the people, because, you know, it's just the thing I do. Even if only 10 people watch it, it's still a little fun to dive through every game and give stupid bets out. So
yeah, totally. You got a favorite? Any teams you like? I mean, is Michigan State? I know nothing about
favorite to win it all. No. I don't like taking future bets in like a tournament like this because the odds are just not worth it. You get like plus 400 on a favorite to win six games in a row. It's just not really worth it when you can just kind of bet it game by game to an extent. So,
wow, that's why you get paid the big bucks here at RotoWire.
Exactly. That's all those big bucks. We've kind of talked about every game this week. We got Brentford at home against Leicester and Southampton home against Tottenham. Any thoughts on those games? I think those are the only ones we didn't talk about.
No thoughts. I think
no thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford at home I like, and then Tottenham, I just have no idea what to think about. Southampton, they lost again, right? 1-0?
Yep. 2-0. 2-0.
2-0. So it feels like, yeah, that might be another result, tough result.
Fortunate.
For them as they find themselves at the bottom of the table.
Fortunately, as I was saying about my article, I do have two bets from those matches in my article. It'll be coming out later today. So keep an eye on that. But Chris, you can find him at CHRO8 on Twitter. I am at RotoZadroik. RotoWire.com/soccer trial to get all of the soccer content. But thanks for watching Kits and Wagers. Chris, let's have another positive week. I'll be kind of glued in. I'm not going to be fully glued in as usual because of the college basketball going on. And, you know, for the Americans, at least it's one of the biggest weeks of the year, depending on where you're actually listening to this from. But Chris, thanks for joining me. Good luck on your bets. And we'll see everyone 2 weeks. We got an international break coming up. So we got a nice little break to go in at 7-0 going into the break.
Nice. Thanks, Adam. Cheers.